Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense, while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Over the head of Dez.
Yeah, they didn't execute.
Yeah.
The inbounds plays at times this year have not worked the way I think that they're designed to. Now, you got to. I said early on, I thought Golden State had a great scout of what the Grizzlies were doing.
Well, you also made a great point. You made a great point that Steve Kerr was yelling at the officials, watch the 5 seconds.
100%. I said, I guarantee you, he went over and said, hey, the last one, they were really close. You got to watch that 5 second call. I guarantee he did that without a doubt in my mind. And on top of that, in the first half, you want to talk about some of the things that went wrong. I thought the Warriors knew exactly what the Grizzlies were coming with.
Yeah.
I think they had it scouted. I think they recognized plays. And there were times it almost looked like the defender beat the offensive player to where the offensive player was supposed to go. That's good coaching. That's good film work. That's good coaching. And the Grizzlies have done that too. I'm not saying like, oh my gosh, we should praise Golden State. They're this genius coaching staff. They broke it down. And if you go back to the first time they met, when they talked to Draymond about what the Grizzlies were doing offensively, and he said, they're different. It's a different look. It's a different thing. But he talked about Chris DeMarco, who's one of their assistants, and he said, CD is what he coached. CD says, showed me what he thought the action was supposed to be, and he was spot on. So I had a sense of what I wanted to do, even though nobody's really seen this before. And so I think that's kind of where their experience paid dividends. And we talked about it before the game. You have a group of Grizzlies that haven't really been together as a unit as a whole. Scotty has not been a part of the things in the past. Zach Edey, not a part of things in the past. Vince Williams, not a real part of things in the past. Luke has been there. Jaren, Jet, Ja, and Dez. I was trying to combine the two. Jaren, Ja, and Dez have been there. But after that, who's been there with them? Who's been there with them? Santi, a little bit, yes. But Gonchar, he's not getting big playoff minutes. I'm not knocking Johnny, but that's the fact. Some of the other guys that were big contributors to your team are no longer there. So now you got a new group, and you look over at Golden State, and you're like, okay, Looney's been there. Moody's been there as a role player. Kuminga's been there, even though he didn't play. Steph, Jimmy Butler's new, but he's a veteran of many years and many big playoff games, NBA finals. There's a championship pedigree there. The Grizzlies are trying to build that. That pays dividends in especially, elimination games, And it's one of the things with Dallas coming in, you go, all right, all the things they've gone through, they're not a group that's been together a ton of time
right, either.
It's going to be interesting to see who gels in critical moments and who doesn't.
Eric, we really appreciate it, man. Have a good call tomorrow night.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me.
Oh, and also thanks for the shout out from my mom.
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah. I'm glad. Did she hear it?
Yes, I played it for her. So yes.
Oh, you played it for her. Okay.
Yes.
Well, anytime. I appreciate that and certainly have enjoyed talking. Hopefully we're talking about Game 3 next time.
I agree with that. That is Eric Hasson, Memphis Grizzlies Radio Network play-by-play announcer. We come back. Let's get into the list. I want to get Cobb's thoughts. Oh, I hope everybody's sitting down for this. Even though Nico wasn't going to UCLA, he's going to UCLA. Who could have ever foreseen that? But we'll get into that. and a lot more from the world of sports. Jason Smith also coming up during hour number two. Stick around and listen to Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. We got some breaking news. We'll start the list with it. PJ Haggerty. Well, Cub, for those that were holding out that the most optimistic thing happening for the Tigers this offseason was the fact that PJ Haggerty had not entered the transfer portal, that has officially changed. I don't know who had it first. It seems to me like the agent flipped it out because I saw The Athletic, I saw On3. I will read from On3. If you are someone that had the report first, I'm not trying to not credit you. I just don't know who initially had it first, but I am citing Sam Gillenwater of On3. Memphis's PJ Haggerty was one of the leading scorers in all of college basketball this season. Now he'll capitalize on that, making himself available in the portal. Haggerty will enter his name into the transfer portal, On3 has learned. So there's a couple of things here, Cobb. And for everyone, I'm not asking David Cobb, college basketball writer, to do some reporting. We're going to just start wildly speculating, and that's what we're going to do. My first thought when I started to see Memphis picking up some names this week, and honestly picking up names that I assumed were not coming for free. So it's one thing when you get Ashton Hardaway back. I think Ashton Hardaway came at a pretty good price, certainly a buyer's price. But my first thought when I started to see more and more names trickling in, and I'm like, I think that guy might have been expensive, was I wonder if they didn't get the news from PJ Haggerty that they were hoping for.
Well, here we are. Yeah, this is the moment that a lot of Memphis fans hoped would not come, and it has arrived with just 5 days remaining, mind you, until the portal cycle closes for players to enter. So what's happened is you saw Braden Smith at Purdue say, I'm coming back. And all of a sudden, I think there were some programs out there who were prepared to make a big swing at Braden Smith, who then had to recalibrate and say, we need a lead guard, and we're willing to pay, what, $4 million? If that's what JT Toppin is making?
PJ, I mean, Haggerty, so this is the other thing. It's like, I have no idea what the number is, because I think most of these numbers that are getting reported are usually the inflated agent number, but not the cash offer, if you will. But it seems obvious to me that you are going to need probably close to $2 million at the minimum. You know what I mean?
At the minimum. So look at Baylor, for example, losing their entire roster, losing Robert Wright III to BYU. There's nobody coming back. PJ Haggerty's 3 hours away, born and raised from Baylor's campus. That's a team to watch here. There's a lot of teams with a lot of money to throw around that have a lot of holes to fill.
Oh, that's a good point that I didn't think about. That Baylor, because you're right. That's the other thing that, and I know that this is your job. Did we have the football and basketball transfer portal open at the same time last year? Like, I'm just now feel like I'm just swimming in portal names.
It's totally overwhelming, and I'm so grateful that I'm on paternity leave, Jeffrey, so I'm not trying to rush to rank P.J. Haggerty. If I were ranking P.J. Haggerty, he'd probably be a top 15 guy. I mean, he's an All-American. He's getting in the portal. He's going to make a bag. Now, is this the end for Memphis? You can be rightfully mad about this. This is the portal coming for your guy. Like, this is not a good thing. What it does, though, for Memphis is it frees up a crap ton of money, a ton of money for Penny. He's no longer going to be able to build his roster around PJ Haggerty. But in doing that, he was going to be limited in what he could do and who he could add. Because, what, 80% of the roster, of the finances for that was going to be going to Haggerty if he stays. Well, now you got however many million that you had devoted to him. You can now spread that around. You see Zachary Davis from South Carolina commit, Julius Thetford from Western Kentucky, a Memphis kid. A couple of good building blocks, two guards who I would say are better than the supporting guards after Tyrese Hunter that they had last year. So you can look at it as a doomsday scenario if you want. I don't blame anybody for that. You never want to lose the conference player of the year. You never want to lose an All-American to the portal. It's frustrating. But it's a chance now for him to go out and get four or five really good players. And also, if Dane Danger gets his waiver approved, to give that guy what it's going to take to keep him.
I don't think that's happening. I think the only way is a court case.
Well, hey, honestly, though, it's a blessing for Memphis that it's taken forever for Dane Danger's waiver to get figured out. You know why?
They're because deliberating over it, maybe?
Maybe. And that's for the better. If they don't come back with a decision until July, that's fine. Because if they come back with one tomorrow and it's, hey, you're eligible for next season, well, then guess who could go get in the transfer portal?
Or start paying, baby. Now,
for sure.
So I'm reading the reports. I have not seen a report that said he enters the transfer portal with a do not contact tag. Agreed? Have you seen that?
No, I haven't seen that. It's okay. Been the same blast that went to from his agent to every
so back reporter. Back on the reckless speculating. If you knew the number was going to be high, and your Penny, and Penny has been going around on and doing podcasts and talking about the finances of this all, and I'm not saying he's complaining. Like I've actually been refreshed. I thought it was refreshing. He's been pretty open and honest about it. And what if you're sitting there going like, man, we're struggling to get the money. Why don't you put your name in the old portal and let's see if that can maybe motivate some people. Like, we got to keep PJ Haggerty.
That's a great call, Jeffrey. I love that take. Honest.
I'm just saying,
yeah, you know, he hadn't said, there's nothing out there that says he won't consider a return to Memphis.
Right.
But believe me, Jeffrey, now that he's in the portal, as if there weren't already people knocking on his door, the amount of calls that his agent's going to be getting now is only going to increase. And it's going to be really high-caliber programs that are interested in him. I mean, look at Texas undergoing a staff change, Sean Miller coming in. Look at what Bucky McMillan's got to do at Texas A&M. I'm giving you schools that
I know that, a school 60 miles away that I guarantee he calls him.
I mean, well, PJ Haggerty's got a lot of ties to the state of Texas, and he started his career at TCU. Bucky's got to find he's got to put together a roster. Sean Miller's got to put together a roster. Scott Drew is starting from scratch. National championship winning coach Scott Drew in the state of Texas starting from scratch. And so it's not like I'm not closing the door. I think that's a good call. Like a wake up call to the Memphis boosters, no doubt. You're not getting a hometown discount on this guy just because he played for you last year and had a good season.
Well, I mean, I think also, you know, it's one of those ones where Munz has said he doesn't think that PJ would be the guy that he's not pulling a Zach Greinke here, where if they pay me $250 million to pitch on the moon, I'll pitch there. Gabe is texting me now, though, that Fanta is reporting that there's a do not contact.
I have another one that's different, but based on what we were just talking about from Pete Thamel, that Dane Danger intends to enter the transfer portal for his agents.
Here it goes.
Timing.
Man.
Yeah, with a do not contact. So for those that are asking, what does do not contact mean? It literally means like, I've already made my decision.
Yep.
And so this is kind of what we've always said. Whether or not you're in the transfer portal, you're always in the portal. I mean, your agents are taking. His agent was talking to people whether or not, you know, he's in the portal or not. And so, to me, that suggests, all right, this is a done deal.
Well, and these coming back-to-back almost feels like it came from Memphis in a sense of like, hey,
we can't pay
sorry,
you.
Sorry, guys. We can't do it.
Yeah.
You know, this tag, what you could go make somewhere else is not something we're capable of doing. And that underscores what we've been talking about, this situation that Memphis finds itself in as we enter this revenue-sharing era, because so many of these high majors are front-loading these offers right now with NIL from a collective, and then on top of that, a promise from the revenue sharing that's going to be $20.5 million because of their huge TV contracts and the huge conferences. Memphis not going to be able to swim in those waters, not to the same degree.
Well, there's another
money helped them for the first few years, but it's not unlimited.
No, I mean, you're 100% right on this. I mean, this has been what I've said is one of my key concerns all along. I'm not saying that Memphis has no NIL, but what I am saying is you can be the top dog in the AAC, but what we are starting to see is like in this universe, I mean, Texas Tech paying a guy $4 million. Like, I don't think they can swim in those waters. If you tell me they could swim in $4 million roster waters, okay. But now
you're seeing now rosters
I mean, your co-worker, Mac Norlander's got the story up about the $10 million rosters.
Yeah, and that's not just one program.
Yeah.
It's going to be multiple programs in this cycle. And there's worries about whether that's sustainable for the high majors.
Well, what here's the thing that I have questions about. They still have not, the judge has still not signed off on the House settlement, correct?
Correct.
And now I know there have been positive, like when you read the judge's comments, I don't have her name in front of me. There was reason to have optimism that that would pass. But I still keep coming back to, Cobb, what happens if we get to this summer and the revenue sharing doesn't actually go into effect? I think that there could be just a bunch of kids out there with empty promises right now.
Without a doubt. And that's the whole problem with...
It feels like the Dumb and Dumber scene. Those are IOUs. You count it up. They're all there.
There's nothing legally enforceable about these deals. I mean, Memphis could go out there and make a fake promise, you know, to their credit that they're not going to do that. This is a rough moment right now, a rough moment for the Memphis men's basketball program, because it felt like this past season was a step forward, even with the first round NCAA tournament loss, to win the AAC regular season title, to have the November and December that you had, to win the conference tournament title, just progress with guys that you thought could come back. Forget PJ Haggerty and Dane Danger entering the transfer portal for a second. I mean, there were other guys on this roster too who I thought were good, who are gone. And now you're literally starting this thing from scratch with Baraka Okoji.
Well, I mean, right? I guess the spin zone would be, and I'm not trying to spin zone, I'm just saying this is the same position they were in last year. I mean,
there's still players out there. There's for all the consternation about how the best players are going so fast, and there is some truth to that, 75% of the portal remains uncommitted. There are still good players out there.
I get it. I understand how the business works. I just want a list of who is not in the portal, because I just assume if you're not in the portal, now it's like everyone's in the portal. Who's actually not in it?
Right. The portal is just... It's basically just the "Hey, I know where I'm going" thing, or "Hey, I know which."
Yeah, it's almost like it's almost the "Watch my Instagram page for my commitment infographic.
Everyone's a free agent at all times. It doesn't matter if they're on a roster. It doesn't matter what they did last season. It doesn't matter. I mean, shoot, you got 5 days left of this. I mean, at this point, there's nobody left for Memphis to worry about keeping. But shoot, anybody. I mean, you. Who's to say Memphis doesn't have their eye on somebody right now from the Missouri Valley or the A-10 not currently in the portal, right?
Because
that's where you got to shop. Like, you got to be able to go to the Valley, to the A-10.
Or this league.
AAC All-Stars.
It wasn't like... Where did you have PJ ranked last year?
Top 20.
So, it was a good pickup, but it's not like... This wasn't the Kendrick Davis pickup.
No, this portal's even going to be better on the top end, though, than I think most of the last 3-4 classes have been. There's more high caliber talent.
Well, that's my point is, listen, most of the atmosphere around last, everyone's bummed because he had a great season, and that is a player that you would like to have kept. I'm not trying to avoid that at any cost, but I am also reminding everyone, the vibe around the roster last year was .
Yeah. Right, and then you ended up with PJ Haggerty, Tyrese Hunter, and Dane Danger. Those, I mean, in addition to the others, but I mean, those were the big three, all of whom were either top 100 or fringe top 100, regardless of where you looked at transfer rankings. So, you know, I think the natural reaction is for there to be some panic and for there to be a bit of "oh no" here, and that's understandable. But it's not as though Penny Hardaway and the Memphis staff didn't realize this was a possibility. It's not as if they're not out there doing their homework on guys. You mentioned the players who've committed. Thedford and Zachary Davis in particular, I think, are useful, potentially even all AAC caliber players. And then
I just don't know on Thedford. Is he healthy?
Well, he played, 18 games at Western last year?
I mean, I think... Hurd knows him, and so Hurd tells me he's a good player. I just don't know health-wise. And, I mean, listen, a guy that had a productive year in the SEC, I like his chances of having a good year in the AAC.
Yeah. So now it's on, it's name watch. Like who are the names they're going to go after? Cause the pressure's on, right? Like, you know, they've got a big board. They know who they're interested in, who they could afford.
You have a theory that this starts with Braden Smith.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's, you know how around Selection Sunday there's bid thieves and you need other teams to do certain things to set things up well for you. I mean, I think if Braden Smith enters the portal, you know, the domino effect there could be that, you know, he's the high dollar all American guard that people are after. And there was a lot of buzz around that. I mean, go back to February and talk to people who were close to Braden Smith. There was some real thought that he was going to leave Purdue, go play his senior season at Duke or Kentucky, make a ridiculous sum of money. Well, he decides to stay. Well, all of a sudden now, if you're a Baylor or you're, I think Kentucky's kind of set at the lead guard with Jalen Lowe from Pitt. But if you're a Kentucky or whoever, or a Baylor, you know, Braden Smith's staying home. He's not going into the portal. And everybody looks at him and is like, wow, that guy, he loves Old State U. He's going to stay and be loyal to Purdue. No, he got paid. That's
no,
what happened.
Yeah, no. This is actually what I was thinking about when you mentioned that. What is it about college basketball where, like, I understand there's more mid-majors and whatnot, but it feels like to me, and you tell me if you think I'm wrong, I thought this year after college football, I thought most teams did a pretty good job of keeping their guys. There were guys in the portal, but I felt like a lot of the guys that went in the portal, if you put the non-quarterback division, where some guys just want to go play. Like, I understand that. But for the most part, the schools that were trying to keep guys were able to do so. It doesn't feel to me like that. Like, Braden Smith is a outlier to me. Like, that's an exception to the rule where a school was able to keep their guy. Why do you think it's more so that in basketball than football?
Well, I think there's better talent at the lower levels in basketball. So I think, for example, like Kentucky keeping a Notega Owe, that's an example of a player that they were able to keep in the same way that Georgia may have been able to keep a five-star defensive lineman. But the best of the best in college football are already at the best programs by and large. Well, whereas in college basketball, I mean, shoot, you can find an all-conference caliber player in the American. Yaxel Lindenberg, PJ Haggerty,
sure,
Dane Danger. These guys are going to be potentially all conference players at their next stop.
Well, and Hurd's talked about this, where he's been having conversations with guys that are, you know, if you got a top 25 player, everybody knows that everybody's going after him. But he's been talking about some of the other guys that he has. He thinks that it is a better path. Go to a smaller school, get your numbers, and you will get paid way more than if you were just getting 15 minutes on a P4 team.
Yeah, for sure. And the guys who go that route and the P4s like them, they realize, okay, if we're going to keep you, we got to pay you, and they can do it.
Well, like, what do you think? I don't know what Pierre got, but I guarantee it was massive.
You're talking about Jonathan Pierre?
No, not Jonathan Pierre. The Pierre that was at Wichita State.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I do think it starts with a J, though.
Jerron Pierre,
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what it is. There's more talent to be found at the lower levels in college basketball. I mean, it spreads out in a pretty significant way. Yeah, so, but you're right. There is a huge difference there. The quality of player in the college football transfer portal, both now and in the fall window, it pales in comparison. Because as I mentioned, I mean, I think this is going to be the best portal class in college basketball that we've ever seen. But a lot of them are players who came from programs that had coaching changes, players who are transferring up, like a Bennett Sturt,
sure,
going from Drake to Iowa, and a coaching change there. Yaxel going from UAB to, where's he going? Michigan.
So yeah, he's going to Michigan.
That's what it is. You're seeing the mid major guys, and particularly here, we're even seeing it with Memphis. Go after, you know, the bag and cash in.
All right, let's talk about it with Jason Smith. We'll do that next, right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Jason Smith is the co-host of the Jason and John Show weekdays right here on 92.9 FM ESPN from 11 until 2. You can follow him on Twitter on X at JasonSmith929. Jason, we get the news today that PJ Haggerty has reportedly entered the transfer portal. I've also seen other reports saying it is with the do not contact tag. Most of the time that indicates that a decision has already been made. He is going somewhere else. What is your reaction?
Yeah, I don't know about that last part. I mean, I mean, it can mean too, right? Hey, just do this through my agent. Don't do it through me.
Sure.
Maybe I'm just trying to be optimistic, Jeffrey. I don't know. You could be very well right that the decision's already done. You had to get in the portal if you're going to leave Memphis, and we were counting down the days that he had left to do this because, again, if you get past the portal. And Cobb can correct me if I'm wrong. He's Mr. Transfer portal rankings. But you get past that deadline. Okay, PJ is going to do the NBA thing. But if he's coming back to college, at least you've got him here. And you must feel pretty good about whatever you're going to give him NIL-wise. So the fact that he's done it, this is the key for me, Jeffrey. I'm not surprised. I think John Martin was kind of my partner. He was saying it without saying it out loud to me as the show was going on today. His position on – it was after we had talked to Zach, the South Carolina commitment that you just pulled out of the portal. You know, John had shifted to sort of a, man, you got to be ready for if you lose PJ, whereas I think I had been and we all had been, well, you're getting pieces, right? You're value shopping, and oh, boy, it looks like you, with Zach, bringing him down from South Carolina, you've cashed in. But when I say value shopping, whether it's Tedford, you know, a local sure. guy that you're bringing back, or Ashton, who you feel like you can work out a pretty darn good deal with NIL-wise, it felt like all of this was to put around PJ, but John had shifted today. So back to not surprised that this happens because he was saying it without saying it. And then when you're talking about the timing, I think it's important, Jeffrey, you guys can speak to this. The fact that it's happening now, right, as we had a few days left before the deadline was over, I hope it's not, but it would seem to me to be an indicator that Memphis has either not gotten it together in terms of a number that he's fine with, right? And so you're not jumping in the portal, or they haven't done it fast enough for him and his agent. And so that concerns me because, again, you know, the hope was here as we got closer to the deadline, man, maybe you can get through this. And, man, you must feel pretty good about the negotiations. The issue is we know – you know, all of this money has jumped in terms of what's coming down the pike and in terms of the market. Last year, we're talking about $2 million for Coleman Hawkins. This year, we're talking about between $3 and $4 million for JT Toppin. That's a second-team AP All-American, which is exactly what PJ Haggerty is. And so if you can't come up with $3 or $4 million, well, the market says someone will come up with it for PJ Haggerty because that's what JT Toppin got. It feels like in a world where maybe as recently as a couple of months ago,
you felt pretty good about having $4 to $5 million as your NIL budget. It's gone outrageous for these power schools in terms of what they've got. John talked about the middle of the pack. I think it was a Big Ten coach. I can't remember if it was Big Ten or Big 12, but it talked about going from 2 to 6. That was a middle of the pack to bottom, I think, is the way he described that program in terms of in the conference. If they've got that, and then the top programs have got, what, 10, 15, whatever it is, all of a sudden these guys have got more money, and their line is different on what they're willing to offer than yours. If your budget's still between 4 and 5 and you're giving PJ Haggerty between 3 and 4. And so again, if you're and if you're Memphis and you're trying to pull that together, it's not just do we have it, it's can we field a competitive roster, stay nationally relevant, which is the expectation here, put butts in seats, make a tournament, and oh, by the way, the people here are dying for a Sweet 16. We got to feed it. We got to feed the beast. Can you do that with a little bit it feels like you'd have left now in your budget in this new reality that, man, all of a sudden what you got, sure, it's most in the AAC, but it ain't much for retaining a second-team AP All-American at what it costs in 2025 and then putting a decent to solid enough supporting cast around him that you can stay in a top 25. This is hard, man. And so for Penny – I mean, and he had said it. He said it out loud after they lost to Colorado State. He said it to us while the season was still going. It's all about the money. Like, these guys are going to – I think he said it, between 2 and 3 million. Looks like it's going to be a little bit more. I mean, he was sort of projecting the market then. Look at where we are, what Memphis is going to have, and you look at Penny, what we'll know is, man, how bad does he want this? Because the guy that we thought was cut out for, just in terms of the way that he can adjust, the way he has with these, as I put it, shifting sands of college athletics, he's managed to in this new NIL world, you know, really be, I mean, he went and got Jalen Duren, you know, Imani when this thing started up, I think, and look at him, you know, go get a PJ Haggerty and what he's become. But with the price continuing to go up, and this is how you, I mean, this is the bottom line, your expectation has always been to be nationally relevant, And that's what you have been historically. Can you still afford to pay that price, particularly when a guy like PJ has blown up to second-team AP All-American status and everybody in the country, it feels like, certainly all the power schools, have got between the 3 and 4 million that JT Toppin got that it feels like, obviously, PJ Haggerty is going to get. And so, man, this is hard. And I'll say it again, how bad does Penny want this? Because the difference for him and somebody else that would be in that boat, in his shoes, that gatekeeper of Memphis, if it's a Josh Pastner, right, he's got to keep on going because his career is this. He's trying to get to the top. You know, Penny's a self-made millionaire, you know, and so who came back because he saw the program he played for down and said, you know what, I can fix that. I'm the guy for it right now. But so much has changed in these 7 years about how you've got to do it. But and now it might be, I'll say this, it might be out of his hands. It won't matter how good a damn coach he is.
Because
you can't field a roster at the price that it's going to take now to be nationally relevant.
Heard and I were talking off the air, and I was telling him part of the reason why I've kept mentioning, man, I don't feel good about the Tigers NIL situation. It's not that I think, oh, they're going cheap. It's that I've seen how much everybody else is going up. And I like Memphis to me, like there's a ceiling. Like they can't, if it's a $10 million roster, like they don't have that money. They're not getting a lot of these people that are promising this money. It's based off revenue sharing and they don't have the revenue at that high level. And what it really stemmed from for me was I feel like I usually have a pretty good read of how a fan base is going to react. I was truly taken back that when the Tigers lost and they didn't have Tyrese and they didn't have Dante, so they are playing with a third point guard, I was surprised that the reaction was as vitriolic as it was. It was basically everybody was using complaints that I think applied to Penny 3 years ago, bringing him up today. And I understand tournament losses are always gut punches. I didn't say that like, oh, I thought they would be fine with it, but it ended up being way more intense than I expected. And the reason why I was mentioning to Hurd is I am afraid Penny's going to get held to a standard that I don't think is fair for him.
Well, the standards remain the same, but the price to do it now.
Correct.
It's as easy as you're getting to a point where you're getting priced out, at least to the point, Jeffrey, of this expectation that you've got to compete nationally. That's what it's always been historically. And now, again, I'd go, you know, it's that it might be out of your hands. It won't matter how good a coach you are in terms of trying to keep it where Memphis expects it to be. It's like we talk about, this second weekend is the bar here. Other programs don't have that as the bar. You haven't been one since back through Tubby, back through Passner, 09 to Cal, and yet we still hold it as the bar because that's what's been expected because you've made two national championship games. That is your history. Back to the point, it's always been the face of your athletic department, your basketball program. So, of course, you're trying to be nationally relevant. You're a top 25 program historically. I mean, that's just what you are. I think certainly a top 50, but I'd put you top 25. And so you're talking about a point, a crossroads. And listen, this all feeds back into something we've been talking about recently, that, you know, that there may be a signaling of a shift where you're talking about giving football of the limited resources that you have. And we can talk about how Memphis has gotten, you know, more in the AAC than anybody. But when you start to compare it to the big boys, just like you did, it doesn't compare with the limited amount that you have. If a shift to, again, a football side trying to change your face, you know, I hate to even, you know, because picturing Memphis as a football first is trying to make that the face. It just totally goes against your history. But again, at the price it's now going to cost for what the expectation is in basketball, is it not smarter physically to shift it to football? Again, it's expected that in 2030, all hell's going to break loose. Basketball, which has been your face, has never gotten you in. Again, we're not talking SEC. We're not talking Big Ten. We're talking about whatever's left. You're still trying to get there. You're trying to get the heck out of the AAC. And so point being, do you shift things now? The little bit of resources that you have, do you shift more to football where you can say, you can see the path in terms of, okay, so long as we win the AAC here, we got a chance to be the Group of Five representative in the college football playoff. And if it goes beyond that, maybe we've improved our chances. If we stay hot as a brand, if we get this thing back to where it was in 2019 in football, we've improved our chances by 2028-29 when these talks start ahead of these media rights deals expiring. We've put ourselves in a position where we've been right there with Boise State, if not ahead of them, as the hottest thing outside the power structure. And so somebody's going to take us, and they're going to take us as a football first, you know, sort of what they've held against you, in addition to your market size, the diversity of your school, all those things too have been held against them. But you're going to maybe, you know, if that shift happens, maybe now, just because, Jeffrey, what we're talking about, how expensive it's going to be to keep going in basketball. Remember, only 6,500 butts in the actual seats last year, okay, with a team that was nationally ranked for most of the season. So I could absolutely see a future where you are. You're letting off a little bit on basketball. People will be screaming. My partner's already done it with me on the air. How can you do this? After Penny, yes, we talk about the end. This was Penny's best year. Especially if you put the faces on it.
Yeah.
If you put the actual faces of the coaches, you're going to pull from Penny and give more to Ryan, who hasn't won a conference title. Well, again, it's bigger than the faces of the program, even in Penny's sense, a program hero. If this is the only way you can survive, Jeffrey, and the better survival might be, again, your best path to what you've always been trying to get to, which is a better conference, right? Some form of a conference that's more in the power structure. It might be trying to make that shift with how, and maybe this, again, Haggerty jumping in the portal, Dane too, although I doubt he'll, my gosh, if Dane gets eligible somewhere else, that is going to really sting. I mean, really, because his case looks so tough already. But
I feel pretty confident they put in a decent amount of legwork. But I,
no question.
I think Goodman had a pretty good tweet. There should be a separate category of portal guys called the Hail Marys. Like, who was our guy from Wichita State?
One of those, I would think.
Who was our guy that thought he could have some eligibility left and went in the portal?
Quincy Ballard.
No. From two years ago. Like he was at Memphis. Was it Colby Rogers? No, who Who went in? Someone went into the portal thinking that they could have another year.
Maybe it was Jaquan Walden. Maybe
Jaquan. That's it. Yeah.
Can you imagine how frustrated you guys would be as a coach, man? You bring in a guy like PJ Hackerty, you get him to second team AP All American, and man, you love him, and you're telling him, man, I'm going to help make you a better point guard next year, so we can get you in the league and get you on the ball, and it's out of your hands because you can't blame this kid's family. He may never make the NBA. We're saying, hey, stick with development and all that for an NBA paycheck that most of these guys will never see. And so can we ultimately blame these families? Can Penny blame the guy for taking the best possible payday he can get, these families for taking the best possible payday they can get right now? No, it's the system. Unfortunately, you know, I'm all for players getting paid, but the system right now is out of control. And for Penny Hardaway, you wonder how much longer he's going to want to do this when it's this hard.
No, I mean, it just makes you realize, like, okay, his path now is, I don't know if I can be the school that can make you into the star and retain you, but now I just got to go find the next one.
I know. And I mean,
that's hard because that's also based on availability. Like,
right.
You know,
again, for some coaches, they have to stick. They got to play the game. They're a certain age. Sure. This is what they're going to be. For Penny Hardaway, he could step away and go get on a golf course and go watch and see what Memphis does after he's gone tomorrow. You know what I mean? I mean, he's in.
I know what I do, but maybe that's why I'm not Penny Hardaway. So maybe there's something related.
Hopefully it's not done. Hopefully it's not done with PJ. This was something where, hey, at Memphis, get it together. I had to do this because y'all haven't gotten it right yet, and you can still retain him. I'm trying to be optimistic that it's not necessarily over for PJ at Memphis.
All right, my man, we appreciate you.
All right, buddy.
That is Jason Smith of the Jason and John Show. We come back, we tell your story next, right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, Cobb, for today's Don't Tell These Story, tell your story. Adam Silver on some TV ratings picking up during the second half said, quote, I think you saw tremendous competition around the league. I did not. Healthy stars, a trade that attracted a lot of attention. A bunch of things happened in the league that generated a lot of interest. So a trade. Are we now just going to start doing trades for attention just to get clicks up?
Let's just say it's a really bad time to be somebody named Nico who's trying to negotiate player transactions.
Oh, boy. All right, my man. Appreciate having you here.
Thank you.
That is David Cobb. If you missed anything, be up on the podcast show after the program ends. For George, for Cobb, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show is coming up next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.